And our blood should be bright red and healthy, and our veins should be healthy looking where you can see them. And if they are, it's because you're hydrated. So hydration is the key again, drinking good water.
Okay. Brother Gregory?
Yes.
Oh, my. He's praise the Lord.
I don't know what the deal is. I'm out actually outside on the cell phone, but we couldn't get to the landline. We dialed and dialed and dialed. So,
a lot of people have been having trouble with the switchboard and dialing in for the last 3 days, and I'm just wondering if it's because of all of the storm issues and the rerouting of calls, et cetera.
Oh, because of the big storm or...
Because, well, see, as far as I know, our BTR is based in Australia.
Oh.
So if it's coming into the United States through any of the areas that are having outages, you know, they're having to reroute everything.
No. Yeah, because now we're having absolutely perfect weather. I'm outside and the birds are singing, and we're up in Summer Lake, Oregon. So, but I don't know, something's going on because I would either get a dial tone and then ring, or I would just get a busy. And kept trying and trying, but it worked fine this morning where we called, but we weren't routed to Australia, I guess. But so anyway. I don't know, did you do your commercial break? Because we're just finished the half hour mark.
Oh, yeah, we've done all of our commercials, and we've time with some extra chitter chatter.
We did as many commercials as we can. Now we want to listen to you.
Well, I'm out here without any notes or any help. I just have to be talking. I'm sitting on the feed truck doing the show because we don't get good cell phone reception in the house because we're out so remote. But actually this morning I thought I talked about a pretty interesting subject. A lot of people like it. And it was this idea of science is proving the existence of heaven and hell. Of course, it may not be proving the existence of the kind of heaven that we think or the kind of hell that we think, but it's proving, at least in their minds, that there is these alternate dimensions, and they exist side by side with us, and they're pretty sure they exist, but they won't call them heaven or hell, because most of the scientists that control our modern thinking today in the area of astronomy and physics are atheists. That's the ones who control it, the hierarchy, like Hawkins and them. And so if you mention that these parallel dimensions may be exactly what the ancients were talking about all the time, with angels suddenly appearing and going up and down and seeing these visions of someone coming from somewhere else and appearing in our dimension and then going back again. And, of course, that's what the scientists are believing is possible, and they're proving it with mathematics. And they did this, you know, originally we had Einstein coming up with his theory of relativity, but that didn't really answer all the questions of what they were seeing. And so along came the quantum theory, and that didn't answer all the questions either, but it filled in a lot of the gaps that relativity didn't seem to complete. And Einstein was working on that, but he wasn't coming up with all the answers. And then they went to string theory, and that was received by everybody, and then it fell out of favor with the hierarchy of modern science. But now they've had to go back to it because they see items in the material world that actually appear and disappear on the atomic level. And they were trying to figure out where are they coming from, where are they going to, or is matter jumping around, or are these electrons going out of existence and coming back into existence? are they actually moving to this other dimension? So now they've come up with that there's 11 dimensions. And
it's about time.
Hello?
It's about time.
But they won't mention heaven or hell.
Yeah, well, we'll forgive them for that, huh, Brother Gregory?
Yeah, that we're in the forgiveness business, but I find it humorous. It's at least, if not, it's not disturbing to me. I'm not surprised even. But what they're and when you can go online and look up videos on string theory, and they'll be showing you their rendition of these alternate dimensions, and it looks like everybody's walking around in the spirit world. And one guy said that in these alternate dimensions, Al Gore may have won the election. And so my humorous comment to that, and of course that would be in hell. But that was facetious of me, and I'm ashamed of myself for having said it. But anyway.
Fiddling it.
But the reality is what they've come to now, and they've, you know, when the Big Bang Theory came out, that was all popular in the rage among scientists, and they were having problems with the Big Bang Theory, and they didn't put that in Time magazine when they said that scientists had proved the Big Bang Theory, because they're having problems that it doesn't really fit. And so now they've come up with another one, and they're liking this a lot, and it's the wave theory. And what they say is that, I should back up a little bit, the string theory also involves what they call the M theory, or membrane theory. They're noticing that all creation seems to be tied together. It's connected. And I'm going real quick because we only have a half hour left of the show, but they're saying that everything is tied together in this kind of membrane connectivity. And the idea of string theory, I'll back up one more step. The idea of string theory is that there are, everything is, instead of being single point particles, they're actually strings, and they're vibrating because they're stretched out, and this vibration is what brings all matter into existence, is this string. What they don't get into, and this is what I would actually like, this is maybe a revelation on my part, or maybe I'm a total wacko and everybody should not listen to me. But it's what we usually call campfire talk, and I save a lot of my campfire talk for this show. But in order for this string theory to work, there must be two ends to the string that are held taut, just like a guitar or anything. In order for it to vibrate, you have to have it stretched. And it's as if one end of the string is in one dimension and the other end of the string is in another dimension. And the vibration between those two is what brings matter into existence. And a number of physicists were on a train traveling along discussing and throwing back and forth these ideas. And they came up with the idea that this membrane theory, and they're pretty sure that, and membrane is really a poor, they call it the M theory. They also put in the word mystery theory or magic theory. And, of course, I equated it this morning in 2 hours of show time with the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And that's when Jesus says that it's given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it is not given unto them, when he was explaining why he always talked in parables. And what it is there was, and this is where the correlation really continues on with what the Bible says. The Bible says that Lucifer, who was this light bearer, he kind of had his own light, he was very powerful, whatever, and whether you give him the name Lucifer or not is not really important, but somehow or other there was this division in heaven where a third of heaven moved over or went another way, separate from that of the original creative force, and it did not do things exactly the way the original source of creation did things. So we call that Satan or the adversary or whatever. And what scientists believe, not using heaven terminology, is that that created a membrane of its own, this contiguous, connective universe. And those two universes, again, we're talking universes on another dimension than what we live on or what our bodies and flesh live on, crashed into each other or conflicted with each other in some sort of wave activity there. And the space in between that collision is where all matter exists. Now, these physicists are pretty sure that that's what's happening. And it's the result of this conflict between what we call good and evil. Now, of course, good and evil are not two opposing forces. Good is like light, and evil is like less than light, what we call darkness. So it's not two forces, it's two realms, one complete, one incomplete, one connected to the source of life, and another one that has removed itself from that, like Cain going out of the presence of God, Lucifer going out of the presence of God. And the thing is, if this string theory of all matter is actually connected from this realm, which is an exact same physical location as we are, but we call that hell, and this other realm, which we call heaven, in the exact same physical location as we are, but not in the system, that does not hold matter. And that scientists are all coming to the conclusion that these other dimensions don't have matter as we think of it. And yet it lives, it exists side by side. They even believe that there's living creatures inside that other existing realm. But again, because of the fact that atheism has control of modern science, they won't ever refer to these parallel dimensions as heaven and hell. And of course, when I say heaven and hell, I talk like that's, there's two different realms there, but that's not really what we hear from Jesus. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, there are many levels. This is why there's a stairway where they use a ladder, you know, Jacob's ladder, going up and down. There's levels to all this. And what it seems like is we're here in this realm, given dominion in this realm by God, and we're living between these two membrane dimensional existences. One has those that have separated themselves from God, and the other one that has God in it, in the sense of the servants of God, those who have remained uniform with God, serve God, act as God, have the character of God. See, we were made in the image of God, but because of the influence of this other realm in our realm, we're being remade in the image of somebody's bringing in a big truck. I have to move away, or you're probably hearing that. So now I'm way down in the field. Are you still there?
Yes, yes. We're listening.
Okay, I didn't lose you. I was afraid maybe we got disconnected. the idea is we're between these two realms, and this is the choice. And, of course, I'm relating this always to what Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, and his righteousness. So how do we get closer to that realm of creation that is an inexhaustible source of life and light and wisdom and understanding? I read several quotes that talks about knowing this not by flesh and blood, because it's, but by revelation. And revelation, the word that they actually use in the Greek for revelation in almost every case, is a word that actually means to remove a veil. And it remove, you know, a covering. And this is, we see this in the Old Testament where they refer, and even in the Revelations where they talk about removing this veil, and you see angels on the other side, or these other living creatures, as if they're all around you, but they're living in this other realm all around you. And all you don't have to go somewhere, you simply remove that veil and you see it. So what we're supposed to be doing is moving towards that revelation, towards God, towards his soldiers, which are not soldiers like we think of, you know, in Afghanistan, or but, you know, his minions that live according to his ways. And we do that by seeking righteousness. And, of course, one of our pet peeves here is we're showing how the world has moved away from righteousness. What is righteousness? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Care about him. I heard Cookie, when I first came on, talking about making sure people are hydrated. She's doing that because she's saying that because she cares about other people. She's on this program and takes the time. Sorry for embarrassing you. I'm using practical examples of what it means to love thy neighbor as thyself. Care for them. Do for them. Serve them. And this is what Christ came. He came, I came not to be served, but to serve others. He came to give up his life so that you might be saved. This is the character of the kingdom of God. So we'd have to think that in that other membrane, that other parallel dimension that is trying to draw us into it, they don't do that. They don't care about you. They want you to serve them. They want you to be under their power, under their authority. And if we look out in the world today, we see the manifestation of that spirit all around us, in our governments, in our medicine, in our legal systems, where people want to control you. They want to make you fasten your safety belt, supposedly for your own good. But if you don't, then they will take money away from you. They want to force you to contribute to their education. Education is good, but they want to force you to do it. They don't want to give you the choice. God gives choices. So you see, this world is moving, for many people, are moving in the direction of that realm that feeds on one another, that doesn't serve but uses you as a human resource. And what you need to do is let Christ live in you by moving the other direction, which is a journey, which is a thing of striving, because you're going to find out sometimes you're not as unselfish as you should be. And this is what Christ was preaching. This is what the early church was doing, bringing people into confrontation with their own selfishness by saying we must live by unselfishness. We must live by serving one another. And this is why we encourage people to form these congregations of record, is that you want to go on record with somebody saying, I'm going to care about these people and the other people that are in our network, and I'm going to put my life to that purpose. I'm not going to give them everything they want. I'm going to give them everything they need. If they need rebuking, I'm going to give them rebuking. If they need help, I'm going to give them help. If they need advice about hydrating, I'm going to give them advice about hydrating. But you actually come together with the intention of doing that in real ways. And that allows a connection in that string theory, in your body, in every atom of your body, to that other realm. And it draws you. And one of the other go ahead.
Can I share scripture, Brother Gregory, with you about that theory?
Okay.
Okay, in 2 Corinthians 3, it talks that 3:14, it says, but there's our mental powers are dulled. For this present day, the same veil remains unlifted at the reading of the old covenant because it was done away with by the means of Christ. In fact, down till today, Moses has read, a veil lies upon our hearts. But when there's a turning to the Creator, the Heavenly Father, the veil is taken away. Now a God is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of God is, there's freedom. And all of us, while we, our unveiled faces, reflect the mirror image of the Creator and transform into the same image from glory to glory, exactly as done by Jehovah the Spirit. Now in 4:3 it says, but if now the good news we declare is in fact veiled, it is veiled only among those who are perishing, among whom the God of this system of things has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, but the illumination of the good news about the Christ, who is in the image of God, might not shine through. And so the thing is, when we turn to that dimension, on that string theory to the higher dimension, the veil is removed, and then we're into a different realm or frequency where we are putting our faith and belief into the unseen, not the seen.
And what will happen is the unseen becomes seen by us. We begin to have eyes to see what others do not see. Many people complain to me all the time. They complain about, I shouldn't say complain, but they talk about the anxiety they feel when they try to explain these things to other people, and they say it seems so obvious, but they can't see it. And that's true. They just cannot see it because they aren't given eyes to see and they aren't given ears to hear. They are on your planet. They are standing next to you, but they are connected to another realm where they cannot get eyes to see. Now, I tell you, there will be a shaking, a rippling in this membrane in the days to come, where many who do not see now will have another chance to see. And they will be shaken from their unbelief and will have a chance to see. Right now, we are creating a network. Now, one of the things I pointed out is that one of the things that these scientists were discovering is that they were trying to figure out why gravity seems so weak, and they were thinking that it was because gravity is actually going into these other dimensions. And so they tried to calculate it, and never worked out. And one lady scientist, mathematician, rock climber lady, I can't remember her name right offhand, but anyway, she began to calculate it, and she thought, well, maybe gravity doesn't originate in this dimension. But again, what I said before is that all the bodies that we see in the universe, sun, moon, stars, has a corresponding existence in another dimension. And I've said this for decades and decades. The mathematicians are just discovering it in the last couple of decades. But they're realizing this, and they're saying that it isn't really that weak. But the element of it that we see is weaker here. But the reality is that this is really should be simple for people to grasp. We're traveling around the sun, which is millions of miles away. Every atom in your body is connected to the sun by gravity. So that when we're spinning around through the cosmos at thousands of miles an hour, we're not thrown off the planet. The people on this side are not crushed, and the people on the other side flinging off, because it isn't that the Earth is held by some string. It isn't the Earth that is simply held here, but every atom on the Earth, every atom in the Earth is mysteriously connected to the atoms in the sun. And that is holding all of us in orbit at the same rate of speed in a uniform pattern. That's amazing to think that there's a power actually in every atom of your body reaching millions of miles, as if that space made no difference. And it doesn't. But it makes very little difference anyway. Think of the same thing when we become aligned with Christ.
Ooh.
The connection between each of us all across this planet is better than we've been receiving with the telephones this morning. That connection doesn't matter that you're in Poughkeepsie or you're in Minnesota or you're in Australia. If we are connected with Christ, we are all connected together, and that is a tremendous power. So what we're doing now is making those connections and starting to form those networks. We have to do it in spirit and truth. In other words, we can't just sit home and spiritually gather together with others. We can't lock ourselves away in Trappist monk monasteries. We actually have to connect with one another and, like Christ, be here in spirit and truth, doing what Christ said. And I have no idea of the time, so am I running over? You let me know, Cheryl.
Okay.
I have no fox in front of me. I'm out in a potato patch out in the desert.
But
we're all raising our vibration, connecting together, and putting out our consciousness for this new kingdom, the kingdom within, and magnifying it through our hearts, minds, and guts, and we're becoming light bearers, and our lights are shining and connecting with one another. Is that correct, Brother Gregory?
It is, but it's very important that we that the power source, the light source that we use, is totally in uniformity with Christ. And
right.
Again, because the evil is a light bearer too. Evil
right.
makes a connection too, but it is missing some of that light that is totality of God. It has turned away from some of the truths of God, and so therefore it's less than God. But it wants to be as God to you, and if you look to it, you will be connected to the wrong side. You have to look to and Christ is our best example. There are many prophets. I mean, from Moses to Buddha to Abraham, they all came with the same message of love thy neighbor as thyself, to love God. To seek righteousness, do not oppress the stranger in your midst. This is Moses saying these things, and Abraham too was the same way, and many of the other prophets. We have a terrible miss, you know, a lot of religions that are not really doing justice teaching the ways of the prophets. But what we see in our society today, the people have become more and more covetous. There's a huge movement of this progressivism in America today. They're coming up on an election that is unbelievable. I'm not going to advise anybody to vote for anybody. I actually have we have a recording out on Voice of the People that is actually almost antithetical to voting, because we know that the solution is not in there. The solution is in the ways of Christ. And those ways are diametrically opposed. We have people actually saying Christ was a socialist. I can't imagine Christ forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. But somehow or other they think that, because the image that is being held up in these churches of Christ is short of Christ. Satan is short of Christ. They are becoming, in essence, with their form of godliness, Antichrist. Yet they
right.
preach his name, but not his way. And that's why we have come to this precipice in our societies today, not just in the United States, but in all these countries. We're on the verge of some very, very bad things, but that's okay, because we're also on the verge, for those of us who will seek that way, on the verge of very, very good things. And
so in this ways thing, on one side is Christ, and on the other side is the Antichrist. On one side is miracles, and on the other side is magic. And on one side is positive and enlightenment and bright light, and on the other side is dimmer light and kind of counterfeit, kind of a dimmer light. But
yeah,
even
it's a light that feeds. In order to burn, it must feed off of others. It's where all the vampires and werewolves, things that go bump in the night, seem to gather. And
it's where
a lot
the red
of the ones say again.
It's where the red team live.
Something like that. The fact is what we have to do is keep our eye on the goal. Keep our eye on seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is one of the things, the key thing that Christ was constantly saying. He wasn't dwelling on the fact that evil was about or evil is afoot. It is there. We know that. We understand that. But our focus is not from fear. It's from love. And so we constantly are turning around and seeking to go his ways. And that's really, but we have to do it in spirit and truth. If God gives you a revelation of understanding and you don't act upon that revelation of understanding, he will give you less understanding tomorrow. In Daniel, I read the quote in Daniel. I can't remember exactly where it was. I think it's 10, maybe 9. I'm just guessing into the wilderness here. But he says that if you seek his understanding and humble yourself to serve God, in that day, he will hear you. We hear over and over again in the Bible where he says, you know, because they went out and elected Saul as leader and they chose other men to rule over them and their neighbor, that God would not hear them. I will not hear you in that day. He tells you, warns you. But if we turn around now and seek that understanding, but actually start doing, what we do won't be enough. It won't be a big thing. Most of it will be little things, reaching out to help some individual. But to do it religiously, consistently, and do it together with others, in that day itself, God will hear you. In your time of need, God will run out and meet you halfway because you have that string connection to his realm.
How
instead
exciting.
Of the realm of selfishness. And we will play a symphony. The 144,000 they talk about in the Bible, learn the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. They vibrate musically in a symphony in the ways of Christ. And so they need to be like Christ, not up there bolstering themselves on a pulpit, but out in a potato patch, preaching the kingdom in the wilderness. That's where they need to be. Again, I have no idea of time. Are we running over time?
We're right at 4:02, and it's time to wrap it up. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we got an hour long message in a half an hour.
Excellent.
And I hope it helped.
It's very helpful. Always is. We just love listening to you, Brother Gregory. Thank you so much for your persistence today.
God bless.
God bless.